The sermon this morning comes from Matthew chapter 6. That is on page 963 in your pew Bible. We'll start the reading with verse 25. I find it striking. It has the label on the top of here, the cure for anxiety. I'm reminded of the commercials that I see on television for all the different medications that are cures for anxiety and all the side effects that go along with it. If we were to label this and we were to market it and say the cure for anxiety, we'd have to list side effects like joy and happiness and peace and eternal life. But we see exactly what God has in mind for us as we look at this, the cure for anxiety. Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry, then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Pray with me. Our Father, as we look at what you have said is the cure for anxiety, and each of us would look at our lives and find ourselves anxious in different areas, direct us now so that our fear will be removed, so that we will indeed be able to follow your command. Do not be anxious. So that we will walk through this world and even march through this world as the people that you have called us to be. Free from anxiety, free from worry, and seeking first your kingdom. Father, accomplish these things now through the work of your Spirit. Convict us of our sin. Show us where we break your commands. And give us hearts to turn towards you now. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Recently, a young man sat with an older man getting counsel about his life. And the older man looked at the young man and he said, priorities. And the young man shrugged. It seemed rather vague and it seemed rather abstract. And it didn't really seem to apply to the issues and the problems at hand. And he said it again, priorities. And he said to the young man, what does Matthew 6:33 say? And the young man shrugged his shoulders, not being familiar with that particular reference. And the old man said, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then once again he said, priorities. He said, you're not seeking the kingdom first. You're looking at all of these other things and these other desires and these things that you would long to put in place. But until you seek first the kingdom, none of these things are going to fall in place. As thinking in the terms of neglect, because we neglect our seeking of the kingdom, I'm reminded of the character Gollum from The Lord of the Rings. Gollum is this terrible creature from Lord of the Rings who fell in love with this one gold ring. And that one gold ring was the thing that he obsessed about. The one gold ring was the thing that he loved. He called it his precious. My children caught a glimpse of Gollum, and they called him that yucky guy. Because it was obvious Gollum had rejected everything, had neglected everything. He had neglected clothing. He had neglected hair. He was starving. He was weak. He was this ugly imp that just went around coughing and just loving his ring. And he retreated into a cave just where he could be with his one ring, his precious. You and I love things like Gollum loved that ring that he would hold and he would call his precious. You and I run after things and seek after things apart from what we should be running after. For some of you, the ring would be one thing. It would be a relationship. It would be an activity. It would be a sport. It would be exercise. It would be a hobby. One thing that you love, your precious. For others of us, it could be 100 other things that we would run after, that we would seek after, anything other than the kingdom of God. Anything other than God's presence. I find myself in my anxieties, I will look and I would run to this and find some comfort. And if that doesn't work, I can't find that, I would run to something else to find comfort. And every now and then, I'm convicted and reminded that where I need to go is to my knees. To truly seek the presence of God, to truly seek God Himself. And the call for you this morning as you run through life, as you would seek to have your life put in order, as you would seek to have things right, as you would seek to have that relationship right, as you would seek to have that job right, as you would seek to have that hobby perfected, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness so that all of these things will be added to you. The first step on this journey is to make eternal reality your starting point. To make eternal reality your starting point. We get all caught up in our little lives and we get all caught up in our little relationships and we think that so much hinges on this moment or the next moment or I'm looking forward to this day or looking forward to the next week and the activities and the things that take up our time and the things that take up our affection are all hinged on that. Rather than, boom, this big picture, this eternal reality that there is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God does indeed exist. The kingdom of God will indeed advance and that His people are being made right and perfected in the midst of this and that God in the midst of this kingdom is causing all things to work together for good. And in the midst of it, He says to you, what? Seek first the kingdom of God. And His righteousness. But no, we make our top priority that grade. That test. That relationship. That job. That hobby. And things fall apart all around us. There have been many times in our home when we're working together to get the house clean, and I get so scatterbrained. And Leslie will see me go to this room and carry something out, and then this room take it and something carry it out. And she just sees me going all over the place, and she says, excuse me, can I ask you what you're working on? And I'd say, I'm cleaning the house. And she would say, which part? And I'd say, the whole thing. And she says, let me help you. And she would take me to one place in this one corner and says, how about you work and get this corner taken care of. And I say, okay. And you know, that's helpful. Life is like that. Life is like that. Your whole life is like that. You know, we're running here and there. We're running this way and we're running that way. But God just keeps saying it. Seek me first. Seek me first, and all these things will be added to you. It's as if it's a building blocks. We've got these building blocks that we're working with. You all remember playing with these little wooden blocks when you were a child, and you had to take the biggest block if you wanted to make anything significant, and you put the biggest block on the bottom, and you would stack from there. What's bigger than the kingdom of God? We take all these other things and all these other little elements and we try to stack them and fit in. We just leave the kingdom sitting over there, but the kingdom is the foundation stone that we all need, and everything needs built upon that. My relationship with my wife has to be built upon that. It has to be built upon the kingdom, or it's not going to work. My relationship with my children, it has to be based on the kingdom, or it's not going to work. What good do I do if I labor and work with my children and I teach them to recite scripture, or if I just teach them not to lie, not to drink, and not to steal, and not to smoke, not to cheat? If I just teach them those things, but I don't point them towards Christ and the kingdom, what have I accomplished? I can labor for 18 years and teach them to be moral people, and they can still go to hell. Your relationship in the church has to be based on the kingdom. What is the point? We're not just a family trying to get along, but we are to be a family spurring one another on in love. And then good deeds. We work and labor as a family for the kingdom of God. And we must seek it first, or we are accomplishing nothing. And it will not work. Next, seek first the kingdom of God in your own heart. Seek first the kingdom of God in your own heart. And I'm not saying this as if you have something good in your heart on your own that you are looking in and you're trying to unfold and expound upon. I used to have that wrong idea about my own religion before I came to faith, that I had these great ideas and I had to go out and share them with people. But seeking first the kingdom in your own heart, Christ talked about the kingdom of God being within you. Calvin, commenting on Luke 17:20, says, "That restoration of the church, he tells us, which God has promised, must be looked for within. For by quickening his elect into a heavenly newness of life, he establishes his kingdom within them." You being quickened, made alive within your own heart, establishing the kingdom there, so that you are washed, so that you are made new, so that you are spurred on by the Spirit within you, having received a new heart. What kingdom can you offer people and point people to if that kingdom is not a part of you? If that's not who you are? If Christ has not made his home in your heart, if the Spirit of God doesn't dwell in you, what can you do? What can you do? I had a pastor friend who had seemed to have fallen, and I was struck by this because I had known so many people who had been moved by this man. And I talked to a friend of mine and he said, you can think of it this way. He was like this truck that was delivering axle grease, but he never used it himself. And he went and he went and he went until things fell apart. You know, that can be you. That can be you. You can go about saying good things. You can go about pointing people to Christ. But the kingdom must be within you. For your own sake. And if it's not, what do you have? You have nothing. You have nothing. The kingdom of God is not first within you. Luke 24:32, they said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while He was explaining the scriptures to us. You see, you should be that people whose hearts burn within you as the scripture is given to you. As you hear the word proclaimed, as you read the word, as you write the word on your heart, your hearts should burn within you. You should be a people with a fire. You should be a people with a newness of life. As you have been rescued from the cords of death when you called upon the Lord, recognizing and remembering where you have been brought from, remembering what you have been given, remembering the great cost that was paid for you, paid for your deliverance. In this place, you should be alive. You should be new. You should be a part of a kingdom that is marching forward. But how is this acquired? A kingdom in the heart. How is this acquired? Well, in John chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, don't get tripped up over this idea born of water and the Spirit. We can look back to Ezekiel 36, verses 25 through 27, and we see the Spirit and the water being combined here, the Spirit being compared and shown as water. "When I sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean, I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from you, from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances." So the scripture says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You've all been born of the flesh. You've all been born of the flesh. Have you been born of the Spirit? Have you been born again? I'm calling upon you to seek the kingdom that you must be reborn into. I love the idea that I have been reborn. I love the idea that I have been born again. I was talking to a woman once when I worked in the print shop, and she was at the counter, and I asked her, "So, are you a Christian?" And her response was, "Yeah, but I'm not one of those born-again Christians." And I asked her, I said, "What do you mean? The scripture says you must be..." She said, yeah, I know. But I'm not one of them." Are you one of them? Are you one of them? Are you someone who has been born again? You have been born of the flesh, but has there come a time in your life when the Spirit of God came upon you and you were convicted of your sin, where you knew that you had no righteousness within yourself, that you could not save yourself, that you could not be rescued, that you deserved the very fires of hell? And from that point, were you put in a place where you called upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, to be rescued from wrath, to be rescued from the fires of hell? And from that place, God took a heart of stone out of you and put a heart of flesh within you. And from that place, you became a new creature. You see, that makes you part of the kingdom of God. An eternal kingdom. An eternal reality that will not be undone. Sadly, from this place, we often forget who we are. We forget what has been done for us. We forget what has been done to us. And we get all caught up with our precious. That's you. I am calling you back now. I am calling you back now to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, what does that look like? Well, Matthew 21, 28 through 32, Jesus was talking to the religious people of the day. Now, religion is a tricky word that we can get caught up on. Not here, I'm using it in this sense. Religion as simply a set of structures. Simply a set of structures. You can be a religious person and be missing it. Now, you are called to be a religious person and not miss it. But these are the religious people who were missing it. Jesus said, "What do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in the vineyard.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward, he regretted it and went. The man came to the second and said the same thing. And he answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go. And Jesus asked, 'Which of the two did the will of his father?' They said, 'The first.' Jesus said to them, 'Truly I say to you, that tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him. And you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse afterwards as to believe him.'" This would be a crazy thing to say. Could you imagine someone showing up at our assembly, in our denominational assembly, at Presbytery with the elders sitting there? Or our synod with the elders sitting there, and someone walking in and saying, "The prostitutes are going to get in to the kingdom of heaven before you." What kind of shake-up would this be? Imagine someone saying to you, "The prostitutes are going to get into heaven before you ever will." What kind of shake-up would this be? Right here, Jesus is talking to the people, and then in 21:43, "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it." Producing the fruit of the kingdom. The things that should flow from the kingdom. If the kingdom of God were a tree, what kind of fruit would it produce? The righteousness, holiness, pursuit of God, proclamation of His word. You see, if we simply assemble, if we simply come and sing our psalms, if we simply hear the word preached, if we simply go home and simply read the word, if we simply pray, but there is no fruit of the kingdom, if there isn't righteousness, if there isn't holiness, if there isn't proclamation of the word, it's simply empty religion. And it could rightly be said of you, the prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. You see, to seek the kingdom, you must do good. I call upon you, do good as a part of the kingdom of God. You are a people who were rescued, who were called out of darkness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. A people living, working, laboring to throw off their sin. To be exactly who we were called to be. To look at how Christ walked. To look at the way Christ loved the Father. And try to love the Father like that. Everything He did was out of love for the Father. To look at how Christ loved others. And love other people like that. This is seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The people working, laboring, moving, and pushing forward in the name of Christ. Next, seeking first the kingdom of God, I call on you to work to see new believers. Now, as people who are Calvinists, we believe that we can't make someone a believer. We cannot make someone believe in God. We can't even argue somebody into the kingdom. The only way that someone is going to be received into the kingdom is if God Himself gives them a new heart. But you are what the tools that God has chosen to use to go forth for the word to be proclaimed. Faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. You have been given the word of Christ, and you are people who are meant to be proclaiming the word of Christ so people will hear. And faith will come by hearing. Mark 4:20. And this is Jesus talking about the man going out and sowing seed, planting seed. He's throwing it out so that it'll land, so that it'll grow. And he talks about the bad seed, the seed landing on bad soil, but the seed that lives on good soil. He talks about it producing fruit. Mark 4:20. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. And they hear the word and accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. You see, we are to be a people who is about spreading the kingdom, proclaiming the word of God, proclaiming God's holiness, proclaiming God's justice, proclaiming God's judgment, and salvation that is found from the judgment of God. Not just the people who come to church. Coming to church is good. God tells you to do that. You should do it. Not just the people who sing the Psalms. Singing the Psalms is good. God tells you to do that. You should do that. Not just the people reading your Bible, which is good. God says do it. Keep doing that. Not just the people praying. Keep praying. Not just the people who are concerned about the children in your own household. That's good. Do that too. But a people bearing fruit. People who are like a grain growing up and seeds come off and others grow up in response to the word that you proclaim. Be that. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You, kingdom of God. You, kingdom of God, if you have been born again, you have been called so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Do it. Do it. I shudder to look back and think of all the times I have not proclaimed the excellencies of Him who called me out of darkness into His marvelous light. Children of the kingdom, you were saved for this very purpose. Do this. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now next, line up your life with the kingdom. You see, there should be no area that's untouched by the eternal reality of the kingdom and your place in it. There should be no area in your life that is untouched by the reality of the kingdom. When you rise up in the morning, the way that you think about the morning, the things that you do in the morning should be touched by the reality of the kingdom. Your closest relationships in life should be touched by the reality of the kingdom of God. The ways that you speak to one another, the ways that you care for one another, the topics that you choose to talk about should be touched by the eternal reality of the kingdom of God. There is so much emptiness, there is so much futility in this world, and there are so many aimless distractions we could spend centuries looking at all the things that don't matter, talking about all the things that don't matter. our lives are meant to be something different. Your life is meant to be something different. Your life is meant to be something built on an eternal reality. Your mourning, your relationships, your work, your worship. Everything should be touched by this eternal reality. About a year ago, I was sitting in the seminary, and one of my colleagues started working at the seminary, and I was sitting in his room, his office, and I'm talking to him, and one of my professors walked by, he looked in and saw me, and he stuck his head in the door, and he said, "Who are you, man?" And I was taken aback. He knows who I am, well and good. And I stumbled for a second, and I said, "I'm Micah Ramsey, servant of the Most High." And he nodded. I said, "Is that acceptable?" He said, "Yeah, that was good." I said, "Thank you." Yeah. The question is, who are you? Who are you? Are you simply someone's daughter? Are you simply someone's mother? Are you simply someone's sister? Simply someone's brother? Are you simply this sort of student or that sort of student? Who are you? See, you are meant to be a child of the kingdom. That is who you are supposed to be. The ways that you think, the ways that you speak, the ways that you love, should all be touched by this eternal reality that you have been bought by the Lord Jesus Christ and you are not your own. You have been paid for. You have been called sons and daughters of the Most High, members of an eternal kingdom. Go seek this kingdom. Seek it in your heart. Seek it in every facet of your life. And then, all these things will indeed be added to you. Pray with me. A great and powerful God, cause us to love in this way, to labor in this way, to think in this way, so that you will be glorified as your kingdom advances, as the very gates of hell are kicked in our own hearts, in our own homes, in our workplaces, in our communities, in this world. Be glorified as your mountain spreads and becomes the chief of all mountains. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.